Well, good morning to you this morning. Can I add my welcome to that of Andrea and say, welcome, it's good to see you. I did wonder how many people would have this morning knowing it's a carol service this evening. So thanks for coming. It's good to see you. Please do sit down. Now, as we continue our journey through the season of Advent, the theme of light, this morning we'll be reflecting on that gospel passage and exploring how true light overcomes darkness. But before we look at those scriptures, let me pray. Heavenly Father, please send your Holy Spirit this morning to illuminate this passage in John's Gospel for us. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I wonder if I were to ask the question, what is light? I'm sure I'd get a variety of answers depending on your experience of life. Now, if you've grown up in a rural part of the UK, the electric light may only have reached you in the last 60 to 70 years. Until then, the only source of light would have been reed tapers, oil lamps, candles, or even gas lights. And if you're into watching TV programmes on emergency response services, then I'm sure you've seen pictures from night vision cameras of lost people being found after dark. These cameras are able to detect things that their natural eye cannot see. And if you're a keen stargazer, and last week we had some meteorites coming into the atmosphere, then the mention of light will probably trigger thoughts of some distant blue stars going back to the origins of time, red stars showing they've burnt out, and others like a yellowy star, the same as we have as our sun, which is a third generation star in stargazers speak, halfway through its life. Now, as an aside to that, I understand Australia, where Andrew and Aid are going next year, is a great place for stargazing because it has open spaces with very little light pollution. Well, way back in the 1990s, a radio telescope, which is one that looks for radio waves rather than light, run by the Institute of Extraterrestrial Life, picked up a very strong radio signal. The researchers couldn't believe it. It happened at the same time every day. They concluded clearly E.T. was trying to get in touch. The joy was absolutely unbounded. Here at last was evidence of a new civilization in a faraway world. However, in January 1996, when one of the research team addressed the American Astronomical Society in Texas, he had to admit that the signal from this new discovery actually came not from a distant world, but a humble microwave oven in the staff kitchen. That's what occurred at the same time every day. Now, all the examples I've given are related to physical light, whereas what we're talking about in this passage from John's Gospel is spiritual light. And John's Gospel is different to Matthew, Mark and Luke, as it's written with one purpose in mind, which was to bring its readers to faith. It's a biblical dissertation rather than a historical record of events. And John is not just interested in what Jesus did or said. His supreme concern is who Jesus is. John saw things in black and white. Hence we get light, darkness, fire, water, and good and evil. And in using those terms, light and darkness, John is reflecting on a theme that runs through the whole Bible, from Genesis right the way through to Revelation. Now, Alex Mutir, a Bible commentator, in his writings on the darkness of Scripture, suggests there's five words that apply to the darkness of the human world we're in. These are ignorance, calamity, death, wickedness, and damnation. Each of these are grounded in the truth that God is light, and in creation and redemption, he's conquered darkness and the evil forces that oppose his rule. In verses 16 to 18, 28 of our reading, we have the statement from John's Gospel about John the Baptist. Now, I know there's two of them, it's slightly confusing in this, but let's just try and talk about John the Baptist, where he says, the prophet Isaiah predicted his coming 400 years earlier when he uttered those words, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the highway of our God. And then in later verses, Isaiah says, And the glory of the Lord will be revealed to all mankind, and we will see it. A direct prediction of John the Baptist's arrival and how through Christ God's glory would be revealed. And later in that gospel reading, when John the Baptist asked who he is by the religious leaders, he replies with the words, again from Isaiah, and points to one greater than him, the Lord Jesus, who will take away the sins of the world. We see John the gospel writer using the term light a number of times in our reading to make the point that the glory of God is displayed for all to see in the Lord Jesus, who is the true light that shines triumphantly in this darkened world. John also uses the term world, or cosmos in Greek, which is particularly important as it appears 78 times in his gospel. So he's trying to make a point here. In some cases it's positive. He said, God so loved the world. In other times it's neutral, where he said, what I've heard from God, tell the world. But most times it's negative. The world as we know it is not as it should be or God intended. It lives in rebellion to our Creator. And we see that in the evil perpetuated in the Middle East with the warring factions, with Russia's treatment of civilians in occupied Ukraine and other places on their TV screens. Thus, what we read of Jesus arriving to the world later in John's Gospel, these passages are not a ringing endorsement of our messed up planet, but most importantly, testimonies to the character of God and his love for us in creation in sending his Son. But we can't get away from the fact the world we live in is a hostile place that John is alluding to when he says when Jesus came into a world, ancient Israel didn't recognize him, who he was, and crucified him. Reflecting on modern Western society, it could be summarized as having emptied itself from the ability to see the world from God's perspective. And however negative that appears, John's message is one of hope, as he set the hostility of the world and the desperate condition of us humanity against God's goodness. This gospel message assures us that the darkness of the world cannot defeat the Lord Jesus. He's also described as being at creation and understanding it. Now, Gary Berg, an American Bible commentator, wrote as follows, God is being progressively dismissed from the role of running the external world thanks to the advent of science. He goes on to say, God's last domain, the inner world of each of us, has largely been overtaken by psychology. Now, I'm not certain I agree with that, but I do understand where he's coming from. Bird goes on to say, history is not buffeted by the force of social change. The cosmos is not merely explained by cause and effect. God is the architect of history who delights in making himself known and enters our reality through words, miracles, and showing the glory and power through the Lord Jesus. And what he's done through the Lord Jesus fits excellently into our understanding of who we are and where we're heading. He takes our human form in order to give exhaustive certainties to who he is. Now, just as the natural world sees things dimly at night compared to light vision cameras I mentioned earlier, so we cannot fully see God's glory because we're dimmed by the sin we carry. Instead, it's necessary for God to show himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus, who alone shows God the Father's heart to us. So what, you might ask, can we take away from this passage this morning? And I suggest to you there are three things. First, we started by exploring what we understand by light and looked at a number of illustrations from the physical world. As we journey through this season of Advent with its focus on light and the shorter daylight hours, we look forward to festivals like last week's lanterns, the Christingle service, and the longer days in the new year with more daylight hours. Secondly, as Christmas approaches, so we look forward to celebrating Christ, the light of the world, arriving in a manger here on earth, and thereby giving us spiritual light and hope for the future. John the Gospel writer assures us that however dark our lives might be and the world around us gets, the true light of Christ brings into a world can never, never be extinguished.
Lastly, just as our physical eyes are not designed to see at night, neither can we fully see God's glory, only that shown by his Son and the created world around us. Yet one day, when our earthly journey is over, we will fully see God's glory when we meet our Saviour face to face. What an exciting and glorious prospect to look forward to, isn't it? Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light your Son brings into our messed up world and the prospect of seeing you face to face when our journey here is through. Please help us see glimpses of your glory in the creation of our fellow Christians around us and the Lord Jesus. We ask this in your precious Son's name. Amen.